I want to speak this morning with regard to the deity of baby Jesus as we turn to this time of year when we typically celebrate the birth of Christ. And the question is, here is this baby in a manger. How do we know that it's deity? Because in the past we have learned that of God considered absolutely, we know nothing. We are unable to investigate the nature of God. We are limited by what He chooses to reveal and no more. In fact, everything that can be known is relative to something else. And if we attempt to think of Him as He is, it is actually impossible to do. God, according to the apostles John and Paul, He, in His essence, is invisible. No man has seen Him at any time. He is a spirit. None have seen even His shape. None have heard His voice. Yet He is revealed as love. And therefore, He must inevitably reveal this love in revealing Himself some way. Still, even so, all that we know of Him is relative. We know Him as God the Creator. We know Him as a Redeemer. We know Him as Jehovah. The Old Testament, various different names, the Shepherd, Lord, the Preserver, the King, the Judge, the Lamb, the Scepter, all of these different names. And here, finally, at this time, we find this baby Jesus in a manger. The invisible one becomes visible so that Paul can say, the image of the invisible. And then there that creates, how can you have an image of an invisible? How can you make an image of something that you can't see? Well, as you know, that's a whole other subject, and we've looked at that in the past. And of course, here we have this baby in a manger. He who has no voice ever heard becomes audible. And you're hearing a cry from what is the Son of God, God Himself. Yet He who cannot be approached has been handled by men and women like ourselves in this child there in a manger. So my question is, how do we know this is deity in the flesh? How do we know that this is manifested God Himself in the flesh? Well, I hate to say this, but I got a little bit carried away in looking at this. I've only got 65 verses for us to look at today. So I hope you brought your lunch, maybe a blanket or something, pillow. We might be here a long time, but there's so much there. I can't sort it out. I can't put it all into one lesson. How do we know this is deity in the flesh, the coming one, the promised one? Well, there's three ways for your thinking that I would like to consider this morning. But first, the first way that I would like to look at is prophecy concerning the life of this baby Jesus that we find in the Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, he is given in advance, hundreds if not thousands of years in advance, various names like the lawgiver of Judah, Shiloh, the scepter, shepherd, stone, star, confirmed, by the way, the verse in Genesis chapter 3:15. If you want to look at that, that's such an important verse. It seems like we've looked at it so many times, but it relates to so much in Scripture. And here it relates again to this child in a manger. Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And that is answered, and we're not going to go there in order to cut this out of 65 verses down to fewer verses. But that's confirmed in 1 John 3:8, where it says, "For the purpose of this," baby Jesus, "was manifested that he might destroy the works of Satan." And so here we find this answer a thousand years later that we read about here in the first chapters of the book of Genesis. And so there are about 15 other prophecies that I want to look at with regard to this in the Old Testament. Here we see in this verse that he should come, and that we know that he did come based on what we read in the New Testament. And of course we read where he will come from. So turn in your Bibles to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, which is on page 1257 in the Companion Bible. Micah chapter 5. Verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judea, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting." And we see that fulfilled in the book of Luke. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." This Bethlehem there in the Old Testament, this is 617 years prior to the birth of Christ, telling us where he would be born. 617 years. Unbelievable that anybody could get that right. Furthermore, other scripture takes it even closer than just that year. We find that this babe in the manger will be forsaken. Turn in your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. It's on page 1294 in your companion Bible. Page 1294 in your companion Bible, Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd. And that's one of the Old Testament names of the babe, Christ, the shepherd. And against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand unto the little ones. Fulfilled, if you will, in Mark chapter 14. Turn over to Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14, verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. So here again, this prophecy, by the way, this is 410 years prior.
What verse was
that? Beg your pardon?
What verse was
that? That was verse 27, Mark chapter 14, verse 27. 410 years. As was the place of his birth, prophesied 617 years before. Here in Zechariah, I should have had you keep your finger there in Zechariah, but turn back to Zechariah chapter 13. Zechariah chapter 13. So on page 1298. I think I've got the wrong. Yeah, 1298. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and the supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his own son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. We won't go there, but if you want to take a note, that is fulfilled in John chapter 19, verse 34. John chapter 19, verse 34. You can read that fulfillment. We read that he was to be dumb before his accusers. In Isaiah chapter 53, it's on page 999 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah chapter 53, 53. Tim read this, of course, but verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, and yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. And that is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verses 12 to 14. Here in Isaiah, also in the same chapter, this baby Jesus was to be crucified with thieves. Look there in verse 12 of that chapter. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So there, if you want to find that fulfillment, you find it in Mark chapter 15, verse 27 to 28. Also here in Isaiah, we find prophecy with regard, by the way, that was 649 years beforehand that was prophesied. Big one. 649 years, yeah. It's prophesied that this baby would pray for his persecutors. We see that in chapter 12 of Isaiah 53. Chapter 12, therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgression, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. So there again, we find that he was praying for those intercessors, and this is prophesied way, way before the actual event itself. We have here in this same chapter that he was buried in the rich man's grave, verse 9 of that chapter 53, verse 9. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And that is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verses 57 to 60. We find prophecy that the hands and the feet of this child in the manger will to be pierced. Turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22, verse 16. For the dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. Also, here in the book of Psalms, we find that this baby would be ridiculed. Turn there in that chapter to verses 7 and 8. All they that see me laugh to scorn. They shoot out the lips, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. also in the book of Psalms. And by the way, that's fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verse 41 to 43. We find in this same chapter that his garment was to be parted and lots cast. Look at verse 18 of that 22nd chapter. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. That fulfillment is found in John chapter 19, verses 23 to 24. We find in that same chapter the cry from the cross in chapter 22, verse 1. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And that is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. We find in this prophecy that they would give him gall and vinegar. In Psalms, not 22, but in Psalms chapter 69, if you go over to Psalm 69. Tried to bunch these in groups so we didn't have to thumb around so much. Genesis chapter 69. Verse 21, they gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. And of course, that is fulfilled in Matthew chapter 27, verse 34. His heart was to be broken in Matthew, in Psalms chapter 22. Go back to 22. Psalms 22, verse 14. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. And that is fulfilled in John chapter 19, verse 34. It's the sprinkling with blood and the cleansing with water. There's a lot of these. There's 65 of these verses, but I've tried to just hit on some of them here that show that, you know, 500, 600 years before, it's telling exactly what happened. All of these about this baby in the manger. And what are the chances that this could all be right about only one person in history? And all of these 14 instances occurred within a 24-hour period. Hundreds of years in advance is spoken of. And so we begin to see by prophecy that this baby in the manger is something special. It's the deity of Christ, the image of the invisible God in the flesh. The second thing that I would point out this morning are the attributes and the titles of God that are positively denied to man and unreservedly given to the baby Jesus. And the first of these is like God. Example, in Isaiah 44, don't go there, but Isaiah 44 to verses 6 to 8, he says, I am the first and the last. Beside me there is no other God. And we see in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 1, verses 8 to 17, Christ, baby Jesus, says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Fear not, I am the first and the last. He's given the title of eternal. We find that in Psalms chapter 90, verse 2, where it says, from everlasting to everlasting, I am God. But in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, it says, unto the Son, which is baby Jesus, he saith, thy throne is forever and ever. The title of omnipotent, omnipresent, in Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24, it says, I fill the heaven and earth with the Lord. In Ephesians, New Testament, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he grants you riches to be strengthened, that Christ, the baby Jesus, may dwell in your hearts, all of us. It's omnipresence everywhere. Is a title that can only be given to him. The title of immutability or immutable or unchangeable we find in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, where he says, I am Jehovah, I change not. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, the Son, the Christ, the baby Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, I am. The term Almighty we find in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. He says, I am the Almighty God. In the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given unto the baby Jesus, or to Christ in heaven and earth. Also, we find in that same Almighty title in Psalms 135, verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and earth. And in John chapter 5, verse 19, whatsoever things God doeth, there also doth the Son, or this baby in the manger. It says a title that he's given is incomprehensible, yet comprehends all. Psalm 77, verse 19. The footsteps of God are not known. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19, it says, the unsearchable riches of Christ, this baby in the manger. In Romans chapter 11, verse 33, his ways are past finding out. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, no man knoweth the Son or the baby Jesus, but the Father. He's given the title of judge in Genesis chapter 18, verse 25. God, judge of all the earth. confirmed pretty much in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. We must all appear before the Christ, judge of all. And of course, that being this infant child in a manger. He's given the title of the Holy One, Isaiah 43, verse 3. I am Jehovah, thy God, the Holy One. In Acts chapter 3, verse 14, he denied Christ. He denied the baby Jesus, the Holy One and the Just One. So he's holy and just. He's given the title of King in Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. There is the kingdom and the power and the glory. In Revelation 11, 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord, the baby Jesus, or the Son Christ Jesus. You can see there's a lot of stuff with regard to this, and it runs through, and it takes a while to look this all up. Believe me. The strengthener. Psalms 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. Philippians 4, 13, I can do all things through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, or through Christ, which strengtheneth me through this baby in this manger. He's given the title of hope. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. 1 Timothy 1, 1. The Christ, which is our hope. In Colossians 1, 27. The baby Jesus among you, the hope of glory. The Christ among you, the hope of glory. Now, it's obvious that I have used the baby Jesus in place of the name Christ just for emphasis. It's not to be irreverent, not reverent to the... It's to just illustrate that this child in the manger becomes the man, Christ Jesus. He it is who was in the beginning. He it is who was with God. He it is who was God. He it is who is God. Deity in the flesh. And this brings me to the third thing other than the prophecy and the titles given to him. Faith. There is in knowing him, this baby Jesus, of course, the element of faith. What you can't understand, you take on faith in the scripture. As you know, it says to study, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of him. And as that knowledge expands, your faith expands with it. It becomes stronger. The more you know, the stronger you have with your faith. Because you begin to see these prophecies. You begin to see these titles. And it strengthens your faith. The baby Jesus Christ that we are getting ready to celebrate later this month is a Savior. The question is, do you accept him? Or do you reject him? The important thing is, John says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, this baby Jesus. And there's several other verses here that are interesting, I think. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That this baby Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, if you will. go a little bit further to look back at the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, the name of Jesus. One more, Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, page 1818. Companion Bible. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purity unto himself, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. This is the blessed hope that we have in the Son, Christ Jesus, laying there in that manger in Bethlehem. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and thousand years before, and prophesied even farther than before that. The deity of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the Savior that we have in this baby Jesus, for the Son of God. We're thankful for the fact that you loved us, that you gave him for us, that he gave us redemption. We're thankful also that you have given us then this written word whereby we can understand who he is and who he was. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.